Rankin did not immediately offer his own opinion. Lawrence was a little surprised to find him consulting quietly with Caesar, away to one side. He could scarcely have imagined an aviator less likely to inquire after a dragon's wishes. But Caesar's interests were the only ones aligned with Rankin's of their company, which perhaps had driven him to such straits, and having conceded so far, no one could deny Caesar a great deal of sharpness, if he was too ungenerous for wisdom. "Certainly I am not leaving," Rankin said, at length returning when Granby pressed him. "If you are going, Captain Granby, I must necessarily assume command of the search. The recovery of the egg is our highest duty, and there can be no question of our returning to Sydney at present." By which he likely meant no value in finding himself again awkwardly committed to Bligh. "As for the men, for my part, you had better take this lot and deposit them back on the sufferance of the colony. They will hardly be of much use to us." "Well, sir," O'Day said to Lawrence, "I do not mean to be quarrelsome, but we were offered our liberty for cutting a road, and I don't suppose we will get the one without the other."
"Those who wish to remain and carry out their service may," Lawrence said. "Any man who prefers to return to the security of the colony, likewise. I prefer no unwilling hands."
Temeraire sighed a little, watching Ischiaco go, after a great deal of urgent persuasion from Granby, and only with the promise of returning within the narrowest space of time.
"And she is flying flat out," he said, "and on quite a straight course. None of this tiresome sweeping. I do not suppose Tharkey might be able to make out their trail a little better, now that he knows they are natives and not smugglers, so we might not have to go hunting quite so wide."
"First," Lawrence said, "we must have water."
Water they might not have, however. Not easily. The trees were quite misleading, and a patch of greenery did not seem to mean an oasis, as one might have expected.
"They may be like succulents," Lawrence offered as an explanation, "and have some reservoir of water to sustain them through the summer droughts, I suppose."
But if Temeraire tore one up, rather difficult, for all they were very skinny, as they had enormous nests of roots, it was quite dry all the way through, and there was not even a little cache of water which a person might drink from. So they had to keep on with their sweeps, looking now always for some little trickle or gleam of water, and even more importantly for another sign of the thieves, who might easily go in any direction whatsoever. It was very distressing to look upon Lawrence's maps of the enormous continent so spread open and so unmarked. They were already away into the blank, mysterious space at the centre and far from the surveyed coastlines. Now that Ischiaco was gone, Temeraire felt still more anxious to be sure he did not overlook any movement, any small track which Tharkey perhaps could not see so well from aloft. Caesar was flying alongside now, which limited their pace to his. As Lawrence had pointed out, that was even so a good deal faster than any person might have walked, so Temeraire tried not to be anxious, but he was nevertheless very soon annoyed, for even though it was Caesar who necessitated their going slower, he nevertheless felt justified in making many unnecessary remarks on Temeraire's own preoccupation and his efforts to watch the ground.
"I can't see why you should be jumping down and up like a jack-in-the-box every time you see some sand being stirred up by the wind," Caesar said. "You will get worn out, and then you will want more of the food and water when we get it, and precious little of either to start."
"Whatever there is," Temeraire said, "if I am the one catching it, I will take as much as I like. You might help look instead of complaining."
"And if I happen to see an egg," Caesar said waspishly, "I will let you know of it, or anything worth seeing, but I don't suppose you would like it much if I began to say, 'Oh, look, there is something,' and then I would say, 'Sorry, old fellow, I am mistaken, it is only a bush,' after you went flinging yourself at it."
Temeraire was a little hungrier than he might satisfy as they flew over such a short distance. There were larger kangaroos here with reddish fur, but they could move quite surprisingly fast, and the hopping made them a little tricky to catch when he must at once avoid too much jostling of the egg. He had only managed to snatch two all afternoon.
"There are a whole lot of them hopping away over there, Temeraire, if you like," Roland said, as evening drew on.
And though it was not quite in the right direction, Temeraire was tempted, but as he pursued it came clear they were hopping away from a narrow creek, and everyone was very thirsty.
"If you are not excessively hungry," Lawrence said, "we had best stop. The light is fading, and we may not easily find our way back."
"Perhaps," Temeraire said, setting down very carefully so as not to disturb the grounds, "perhaps, Tharkey, the Aborigines should have been here too. It is the first water we have seen since mid-morning."
"I can only inform you that there have been a great many kangaroos here lately," Tharkey dryly said,
which was not at all fresh news. Temeraire tried not to be discouraged, but when they had dug a deeper hole for the water to collect, and he had drunk, he looked up and gazed with dismay around the wide-open country. Low, red dunes, swelling and falling in all directions, a few outcroppings of rock, stands of bushes and of trees along the little creek which ran away into the distance, the bed gone nearly dry in places. There was nothing to distinguish one direction from another. He sighed and closed his eyes for a little rest, while the men made their own small smoky fire and cooked a little salt pork to eat with their biscuit, and they all disposed of themselves to sleep. The pleasant coolness of the night crept on, and Temeraire found himself half drowsing, listening just in case the kangaroos should come back. The hopping ought to make a noise, he felt, and abruptly a short, high shriek startled him up, wide-eyed and looking. Dawn had not quite broken, but the sky was paling. The men were all sitting up around him, blurred grey shadows against the ground, not moving. The yell had cut off as abruptly as it had begun. Lawrence stood, walking amongst the men to count heads as the light crept nearer, and there was a spare hollow in the ground with empty shoes set beside it, where someone had been sleeping.
"That's them," O'Day said. "Waiting out in the dark and picking us off one by one, taking us in the night. The egg is only bait to lure us on deeper into their country, so they can kill us all. We never ought to be able to follow them otherwise."
"There's witchery in it, I say,"
another man muttered, not low. The men were leaving at once, at once. No one proposed staying this time to search any longer for the luckless Jonas Green.
"The ground at the creek has been disturbed a little," Tharkay said to Lawrence quietly, while the hasty packing commenced, and the men warily filled their cans of water afresh. "But I see nothing one might expect of a grown healthy man being dragged away, alive or dead. They cannot have swept the ground clean behind them."
"This is a strange country," Lawrence said, low and puzzled, and came to swing himself aboard.
Temeraire was as pleased to be gone, quickly, not only so they might keep looking for the egg. It worried him a little that this mysterious snatching agency might seize on one of his crew. It seemed just as well to have Lawrence and all of them safely away. But then in the air he paused, before he had even properly made any height, and stooped swiftly to the lee side of the rock outcropping.
"Oh, not again," Caesar complained. "And we've not even had breakfast."
But Temeraire paid no attention, none whatsoever, as he thrust his nose into the low, half-hidden hollow in the stone, tearing away the covering of brush. And in the dirt lay a small heap of fragments of bright, red-glazed porcelain, the lemon-curd yellow pattern of birds smashed apart.